Sponsored by Jewish Voice for Peace Los Angeles, the Institute for Policy Studies, and KPFK. More information available at kpfk.org.
Hello, and you are listening to Eco Justice Radio on KPFK Los Angeles, a project of SoCal 350 Climate Action. Our show presents environmental and climate stories from a social justice frame, featuring voices not necessarily heard on mainstream media. Eco Justice Radio acknowledges that we recorded this show on the traditional territory of the Gabrielino Tongva people and all of their relatives in the place we call Los Angeles. Welcome, I am Jack Eid. On today's show, are we now facing World War III? Question mark. We feature multiple voices on the worsening war in Iran, including conversation with Professor Jeffrey D. Sachs. He's a world-renowned economics professor, best-selling author, innovative educator, and global leader in sustainable development. Jeffrey D. Sachs, a professor at Columbia University, formerly director of the Earth Institute, is now director of the Center for Sustainable Development there. Sachs has written many books and received several awards. His views on economics, the origin of COVID-19, and the Russian invasion of Ukraine have garnered attention and criticism. And that comes from Wikipedia. And we're going to look for some more attention and criticism right here on Eco Justice Radio. So before we get into the focus of the show today, which is degrowth, we should talk. I want to talk just a bit about the war as being part of the need for this degrowth immediately, because there's this sense that we can do anything we want and that there's no consequences. We have great power. We have all these arms. We have all these bases. If there's a nation out there that we don't like, we can tell them, stop it, and they will listen. You know, here, this is a quote from Policy Tensor. It's on Substack. It says, in the Anthropocene, catastrophes, including the meta-catastrophe of runaway global heating, are man-made. Specifically, they're caused by an incongruence between elite discourse and ground realities. Okay. Let's think about ground realities. Let's think about the wild spaces. Let's think about the natural environment. Let's think about communities of people who we don't know very well. We don't know what they're capable of. We just assume, and I'm talking of the United States versus other nations that are called developing nations. Okay, back to the quote. Put simply, elites think the world is a certain way, but it is not. And that is what causes the catastrophe. Okay. We're talking about the catastrophe of runaway global heating, which we're experiencing in spades, that right now this government is, doesn't matter. Let's just go have this war. We'll just get this war over. It'll take a week. It'll take 5 days. It'll take 3 weeks. It'll take 6 months. It'll take 8 years. They're not sure. They have no plan, but they just think they're going to win because they should win because, right? We told them that they shouldn't do this, but they've done it, and here we are. The history of the modern era, back to the quote here, the history of the modern era is a history of catastrophes with their origins in elite groupthink, okay? Epstein class groupthink. These are the people who are running the show here. People have been trying to unveil and show to the rest of us just who these people are. And there's some people in this system that's still supporting them. They have not faced the music, so to speak. There's been complete impunity. And this war is going to show us, this Iran bombing war, brutal, campaign is going to show us how wrong we are. Policy Tensor continues to explain what they mean here. Can I just say that we have a clear and unambiguous case here of not just catastrophically bad foreign policy making, but also military planning. They did not anticipate that Iran would escalate immediately to countervalue attacks across the Gulf. They did not anticipate that Iran could destroy U.S. air bases in the region and push back U.S. forces. They did not anticipate that they will be unable to reopen Hormuz. All of the failures stem from the same overriding premise that Iran was weak and defenseless, that the U.S. was so powerful that it could simply dictate political terms to the Iranians. They simply could not understand why the Iranians were not capitulating to their demand that they disarm and resign themselves to being ruled by the air by Israel. Okay. Basically, we need to rethink how we see the way forward for this great country, the United States, for this great society of the Western world, including Western Europe and Australia and other countries, and how they interrelate with the rest of the world, with West Asia, with East Asia, with countries like China, with India, with the BRICS countries, South America. You know, I mean, this way of just this dominance, heavy-handed fist, militaristic thing. Right now, the United States has things going on in Ecuador. They're trying to unseat Cuba. They just took over Venezuela, and they're stealing their resources, their oil. I just heard about gold being stolen. I mean, it's just, okay, who's next? Where's next? What is this thinking? So we need to rethink. So that's what this show is about. It is about how do we survive into the future? And the only way that we, the royal we, not just me, not just a small community, but this society, if this society is going to survive, they're going to have to rethink. But the unfortunately reality is this society is showing evidence that they're not going to survive. Okay, so keep that in mind, all of us, because there's something called the Samson option. Now, look it up, but that is the potential of nuclear weapons being used in this conflict when things get really desperate. Who is overseeing this? Who is guarding against this? Who is saying, no, that's not the way forward? I don't know if anyone's in charge unless their name is Benjamin Netanyahu.
We start off hearing from Alon Mizrahi, an ex-IDF soldier, giving us his opinion on how things are going out there between Iran and Israel and the United States.
I'm going to explain what I mean. There is the real war that's going on the ground and in the air and at sea. And in this war, I'm going to say it plainly, Iran is hooking up the United States of America. And it is hooking up the United States of America so thoroughly, so extensively, so decisively that the world is not ready to see and accept it yet, including many of us. But this is the military reality on the ground, and this is not just the Freedom Ayatollah hyperventilating or being sensational. In 4 days, Iran has managed to expand its sphere of influence, its sphere of military domination immensely. The U.S. and Iran has pushed out of its borders into neighboring countries. It has destroyed the vastest and most precious military bases and assets and equipment in the whole world. American bases in Bahrain and Kuwait and Qatar and Saudi Arabia are some of the biggest military installations the U.S. has anywhere on the planet. These are assets that it took trillions to build, not billions, trillions. Because I have to remind you, the U.S. defense budget is almost $1 trillion a year. None of this was built in 1 year. This was built over many decades. This is a big part, a big chunk of American military expenditure for 30 years or more going up in smoke. This is what we're seeing now. We are seeing radars costing hundreds of millions of dollars a piece or $1 billion plus a piece being destroyed in an instant. We are seeing entire military bases being abandoned, burned, decimated, destroyed. And I'm telling you from my knowledge of American military history, and I'm not an expert, but I'm not a complete ignoramus as well. The U.S. has never suffered such devastation in its entire history, except maybe Pearl Harbor. And this is one time, one day. No enemy in normal war has done to the U.S. military what the Iranians are doing to the U.S. military right now. Right now. This is beyond, we cannot believe it still. This defies belief. This defies belief. This is so bad, the situation, the military situation, this is the first war I'm describing. The military situation is so bad that censorship blocks practically every piece of new information about this war. And if you've noticed, we are being exposed to less and less every day. Every day. I mean, 35 years ago, during the first Iraq war, we were being shown endless footage from Iraq. The smart bombs and the cameras, they were a novelty back then. But every night almost, we were being shown night footage. I remember this because it was new and scary and exciting. Now we are almost seeing no video. I mean, understand this. This is supposedly the world's biggest military power, having the world's biggest air capabilities. And for 4 days, which are supposed to be the most brutal, this is when you build momentum. The U.S. is on the offensive, supposedly. This is when they were supposed to break through Iranian defenses. And in 4 full days of this, we are seeing no signs of American domination over Iranian skies.
That was Alon Mizrahi, an ex-IDF soldier turned journalist, giving us the version of events going on in Iran that you're not going to hear on CNN, recently purchased by Larry Ellison's media oligopoly. This was posted by Reality G Soundries on X. So next we're going to hear an excerpt from Glenn Beeson's Greater Eurasia podcast. He had Jeffrey Sachs on, and it's called We Are Now in the Early Days of World War III.
X joins us today to discuss, seemingly the unraveling of the world. So thank you very much for coming back on.
These are dramatic moments, no question about it. Absolutely unbelievable.
Well, we are seeing now, though, that we've entered the second week of the war against Iran, and it's, the regime change operation is not going as planned, obviously. What do you see being the strategy of the United States now that they failed in the initial objective?
Strategy is a big word when it comes to Donald Trump. I don't think there is a strategy. We don't really know. And of course, at wartime, we will not be told what is going on behind the scenes. But what we can gather is a tremendous amount of confusion, a confusion about expectations of what would happen, a confusion about war aims, a confusion about the real situation on the ground. So fog of war is the usual simile. I think we are absolutely befogged right now when it comes to Washington. The only public outlet we have is Donald Trump's posts on Truth Social. These are the ravings of a madman. This is also part of what we are experiencing. We have a war with great danger and complexity, and we have a president that is, in my view, mentally unhinged.
Well, I've repeatedly warned that the illusion of escalation control is what could take us to a third world war, because this war is spreading fast and it's very much out of control. Indeed, it's not just a war in Iran. We see, of course, Iran taking credit for hitting U.S. bases in several countries, yet it also denies the attack on Saudi Arabia, Azerbaijan, and Turkey, which doesn't seem to make much sense, and could be, of course, the U.S. and Israel attempting to pull in proxies. Well, we don't know, but we do know that the U.S. is arming and pulling Kurdish fighters as a proxy into the war, and there's now arguments that Russia is giving Iran intelligence, which I'm not sure is true, but it seems likely as the U.S. gives Ukraine intelligence. And also after the decapitation strikes on Iran, there is immense pressure on Moscow now to restore its deterrence from further NATO attacks, while the Europeans talk about more nuclear weapons in quantity and spreading it around. Are we already moving into a World War III here?
We are probably in the early days of World War III, and the question will be whether it is contained. But we're already in a global war because there's a war in the Western Hemisphere underway. And even as the attention is on Iran, Trump is signaling in his not-so-subtle way that the U.S. will take Cuba. This could very well happen. The war in Ukraine, of course, continues. The war in the Middle East is now across the Middle East. The war between Pakistan and Afghanistan is perhaps somehow related to this. Iranian vessels, an Iranian naval vessel was sunk off the coast of India and is perhaps somehow related to this. For all of these reasons, fighting is across the world. The fighting is at least loosely linked. We don't know how closely linked it is. Part of American strategy seems to be to try to corner and control the energy markets. This is not playing too well because the energy supplies are being blown up by the hour. And so we're entering also a worldwide energy crisis that is likely to be extremely serious. And as they say, it's not yet been priced into the markets. This is the usual way that cataclysmic global events are turned into financial jargon. But the point is we're going to enter an energy crisis that is extraordinarily severe as well. This will hurt Europe considerably. It will threaten Asian countries deeply. It will probably mean spreading war. So there's no doubt, by the way, or I shouldn't say no doubt. I'd be shocked, absolutely, if Russia and China were not supporting Iran. Why wouldn't they? They have a strategic relationship with Iran. China depends on Iran for oil. The United States is basically at war with China. Much of what the United States is doing is really aimed at China. For example, cutting off Venezuelan oil supplies to China, now aiming to cut off Russian oil supplies to China, though the waiver was just lifted because of the chaos, aiming to cut off Iranian supplies to China. So if China isn't supporting Iran, something's wrong with all our textbooks, that's for sure. If China were to stand by and let the U.S. take over the world, that would be quite strange.
Yeah, this efforts to take over the world energy markets, it's very blatant. I mean, I just watched a clip on Fox News where they had an interview going, well, yes, any price we're paying in this war will be outweighed by the massive benefits once we get control over Iran's oil as well. And it made me think about the article you wrote recently about arguing that the U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran is also an attack on the United Nations.
Hey listeners, quick break here. We hope that you're enjoying EcoJustice Radio on KPFK Los Angeles. Stay connected by subscribing on all major podcast apps.
Visit our website, ecojusticeradio.org, to check out previous shows and guests and get connected on with us on social media. Today you're listening to Are We Now Facing World War III? I'm your host, Jack Eyde, and we feature multiple voices on the worsening war in Iran, including a conversation with Jeffrey D. Sachs, world-renowned economics professor, best-selling author, innovative educator, and global leader in sustainable development.
Well, it made me think about the article you wrote recently about arguing that the U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran is also an attack on the United Nations. And it did. Well, international law obviously has been violated in the past, but now there doesn't even seem to be a pretense to abide by it. Indeed, there seems to be a pride in it. For example, Hegseth, he dismisses the rule of engagement as being politically correct and weak. So there seems to be almost direct efforts to dismantle international law, as you know, the Board of Peace more or less makes this clear. I was wondering if you can flesh out that argument.
Well, the U.S. government under Trump, but I would say more generally, but still to a dramatic extent under Trump, despises the UN. It wants to kill it, is aiming to kill it, both through 1,000 cuts and through a devastating blow. If you believe that you are the world's hegemon, as Emperor Donald believes, then anything that tries in Lilliputian ways to hold you down is pathetic. So they want to smash the United Nations. And they've been absolutely clear about it. Earlier this year, the United States walked out of more than 30 UN agencies. The U.S. Has repudiated fundamental UN treaties and objectives. We've had an end of the nuclear arms control agreements, which were part of the UN system. The U.S. doesn't pay its bills to the United Nations. The U.S. doesn't respect the institutions of the United Nations. And it's clear, at least Trump and this U.S. government, and I would say the CIA and the deep state more generally, aim for global hegemony, and the UN is the opposite of that. Well, not quite the opposite of it, but it's co-responsibility with other countries, and the U.S. does not accept co-responsibility with anybody. So everything that is being done completely sneers at the UN, and if the topic is raised, those are, as you said, whether it's by Hegseth or by the White House, those are pathetic niceties in a world of power. We've not really seen this kind of brutality of sentiment, of rhetoric, and of action since 1945. By anybody, by the way, whether it's by the Soviet Union or by the United States in an earlier vintage or by any other country, nothing remotely close to this. I calculate each year with my colleagues an index of UN-aligned multilateralism, which we report annually in a report called the Sustainable Development Report. And even before this war, the United States, far and away, and not even close, Glenn, was the least aligned with the United Nations of all 193 UN member states in terms of engagement with UN processes, including votes in the General Assembly, where the U.S. almost always votes in a tiny minority with Israel and Paraguay and a couple of other countries against the will of the rest of the world, in terms of not signing treaties or leaving treaties. The U.S. is simply a rogue or out to destroy the UN. Let's put it that way. And this is all accelerated in recent weeks. What is disturbing, if I could use a light term, because I love to use stronger terms, Europe is completely complicit in this. Europe doesn't show one morsel of support for the UN system, processes, or most importantly, the UN Charter. The core of the UN Charter, the very purpose that you find in the preamble and then in the opening articles, is to stop the use of force and the threat of force by one nation against another nation. This is the essence of the whole UN system. Article 2, paragraph 4 of the UN Charter, which I encourage people to go online and read, says that no nation may threaten force or use force against another nation. It's simple. And as the opening words of the UN Charter make clear, this is to prevent the scourge of war. Well, we have a U.S. president who does believe that the U.S. rules the world and that violence is a core instrument of ruling the world, and that if countries don't accede to U.S. demands, what Trump calls unconditional surrender, with Trump picking the new leader of Iran, well, then force will be continued until that outcome occurs. It's in the mold of Hitler or Napoleon or other delusional actors who thought that they could rule. But even in those earlier cases, they did not believe that they ruled the world. They aimed to rule their neighborhood. They aimed to rule Europe. Hitler aimed for living space in the Slavic lands. Trump's rhetoric and behavior is that he believes that he rules the world. By the way, he believes it at a personalistic level, as well as at a political level. And I'm not exaggerating, and it's not Trump delusion syndrome. It's just the overt behavior. The man's loony, and you can watch it. He's got every trait of megalomania, grandiosity, narcissism. And it's quite clear, by the way, that the U.S. Governmental processes, where U.S. foreign policy is typically run by the CIA, is a little bit being run ragged right now, because they can't keep up with this madness.
Hey, listeners, to check out the extended recording of this show or to explore our other shows, visit our website, ecojusticeradio.org, and subscribe to our podcast. This has been Eco Justice Radio and our show, Are We Now Facing World War III? Thank you to our listeners for joining us. Please connect with us on social media at Eco Justice Radio, SoCal 350, and Wilder Utopia. If you like what you've heard, you want others to be informed, subscribe and share the episodes. You've been listening to Eco Justice Radio, a project of SoCal 350. The show can be found on KPFK Audio Archives, all major podcast apps, and at ecojusticeradio.org. Executive producer, myself, Jack Ike, co-host, Carrie Kim, and engineer and original music by Blake Quake Beats. And until next time, remember, the power is yours.
KPFK 90.7 FM honors the voices that refuse to be silenced. In celebration of Women's History Month, we're opening the vaults. Join us every Monday in the month of March from 1 to 2 p.m. as we dive deep into the Pacifica Radio archives. From the radical grassroots organizers of the 60s to the poets and visionaries who reshaped our culture, we're bringing you the authentic sounds of women making history. These are the recordings that captured a movement uncensored, unfiltered, and uniquely KPFK. That's Mondays at 1 p.m. Honor the past, inspire the future. KPFK 90.7 FM, radio powered by the people.